Good morning. We continue with our study of Rav Volbi's famous work, The World of Friendship, Olam Hayedidus. And lately, Rav Volbi has been talking to us in the piece we started yesterday about where the world's knowledge comes from. And he tries to figure out, based on medieval philosophy and medieval understanding, how things changed, how philosophers and knowledge, secular knowledge, according to the Ramban and others, all find their sources in the Torah. And today we're going to deal with the question that bothers him. How did it change and where did it go? So Rav Volbi begins by quoting the Ramban in the famous drasha called Torah Hashem Temima. It can be found in the Ramban's writings. And he says, look, once upon a time, people understood. People understood that there was a certain series of miracles. Moshe Rabbeinu was there for Kriyas Yamsuf. We had the man fall from Shemayim. We had the well. And these things that were miraculous, they showed the concept of a nevuah. Now, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu had really wanted to turn around and cut the wing of a fly, says the Ramban, or stretch out the leg of an ant, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do those things. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to make those massive changes, that shows you that there are rules of nature. So when somebody comes along and he goes ahead and changes the rules of nature, whether he does so using Chartumim, like we'll see in the upcoming Parsha, in Parsha Shmos, where we're going to learn from the practice of the Navi, right away we know that there's a change over here. Now, this becomes the great challenge for the one, says the Ramban, who is the Rosh HaPhilosophim V'Kashav Yimach Shemo. He says, this is the great challenge that was introduced by the chief philosopher, whereas in the olden days people believed that there was a religious element. There was a time period where people understood that whenever there was knowledge, there was a connection to religion. He says that came about because the people believed inherently in religion. They believed in the creation of the world. But, the Ramban says, this new philosophy changed things. So Rav Volbi says, what was the change? He says, well, once upon a time, chachma and spirit, knowledge, intellectual knowledge, and spiritual knowledge were things that were combined. There was no challenge to them. I have a colleague in the business today, Dr. David Rosmer, and he has tried desperately, at least in the field of mental health and medicine, to try to find that spirit and combine it back with traditional medicine. And he says it's really something that's sorely lacking in the world of medicine. And thank God is starting to, due to his efforts and the efforts of some of his colleagues, specifically recognize the work of Harold Koenig at the at Duke University in the Center for Spirituality, which I've been involved with once upon a time, Ken Pergament and others. But really, Dr. Rosmarin up in Boston has been very much at the forefront of this department to try to find the sense of spirit back again in medicine. Where did it disappear? Where did knowledge and the idea of knowledge and science in the secular studies, where did that mean that you couldn't believe in God? Well, he says it goes back to the time period of Aristotle. Aristotle decided to separate between Torah and modern Mada. And even Rav Menachem Rekanti, who was the student of the students of the Ramban, he already in his time also, he explains that, look, everything was fine, and secular knowledge, people recognized, had basis in Torah knowledge. But once Aristotle and Aristotelian philosophy came about, everything that followed religion became somewhat of a magic trick. What does Rekanti explain? He says, you have to understand, any time that they saw knowledge and thought that it was connected to Torah, the philosophers all said, that you need to deny it. There is no way that one can understand it under those rules. How could you have that? How could you call it achiza seinayim, sorcery? He says, you have to understand. When a person is trained to see and look for Niflaus HaBore, when we turn around and look for the magic of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we find it. If we say you are not allowed to look over there, there is no God, then we look for outside explanations. A person has to understand that sometimes when you make the rules, then you're stuck playing within the rules. This is a great challenge, says Rav Volbi, who, by the way, studied under Piaget. We're not talking about just a person who wasn't aware of the world. He says science became based also on a religion. It was the religion he called the axiomatic religion, where religion was built on, where this surprise religion of science was built on axioms. Axioms were the bases, the theorems. He says even math, which is the most basic among them, and follows rules, and it's the most precise, but it's built off theorems. And you can't challenge a theorem. And he says, and you can't say that we can't follow the theorem. Well, if you're the one who gets to set the theorem, then by definition, you control what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. And so therefore, the Ramban says, that what Aristotle did was that he undid things that people saw with their own eyes. They had heard about and seen about for thousands of years just by saying, no, that doesn't fit the axiom. So he says, well, where did we create this new world of science independent of religion? It began with Aristotle questioning that which people saw in front of their faces. So if you want to understand how Chachma Bagoyim, how the sciences left the realm of something that proved God's seniority and superiority over the world and turned against God, so then all of a sudden you can see it here and now. This leads us to two ideas to contemplate, especially in modern times. One, perhaps maybe we don't need to look at Torah knowledge and secular knowledge as independent ideas. We need to just reorient ourselves to understand that inside secular knowledge, you will find a means for finding HaKadosh Baruch Hu and looking for Him. The trick, though, is that you got to allow yourself to go ahead and do so. Second, it gives us an opportunity sometimes to question the system. I think that's something that's, I was talking to a scientific expert, specifically in the field of medicine this week, and he says one of the things that we're seeing right now is that even the almighty gods of science, which are atheistic to begin with in that they worship their own theorems, even those things have come under fire recently because they too require adherence by those who are practicing. And if we don't follow through, then those things are open to manipulation as well, just like religion. And just like in religion, we have instances of Nevi'ei Sheker, we will have that in science as well, where journal articles are falsified and cheated. And we find it as well in unfortunately, even among those we consider, the great ones, who will turn around and tell you, well, we were looking for this, but really we had a personal reason why we were looking for it. And unfortunately, even in the midst of the pandemic, we have discovered or are starting to discover that some of the scientific knowledge that has been coming about has not followed the very methods that it's supposed to be, and for good reason, perhaps good intention. But people have started to raise eyebrows. This is a danger for society as a whole. Maybe, therefore, the ultimate is for us to look back to our spirituality, to be able to find our own roots, to find godliness inside the sciences, so that we can put our footing back where it belongs. And we'll be able, in the process, to benefit from not only the Torah aspects of our opportunity, but to renew our commitment to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Baal HaScience, to be able to grow in many different ways. Have a wonderful, terrific day, and look for godliness in every scientific and other endeavor as well.